Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes if you would. This morning, we're going to start a series that we're going to do for the next few weeks entitled, Called to Be a Servant. Now, when you study the life of Christ, the one character trait that is portrayed of him over and over again is the idea of servant. In fact, the main verse in the book of Mark is found in Mark chapter 10. It's verse 45, but let's read it from verse 42. So Jesus called them together, them being the disciples, and he said, "You know that in this world, kings and tyrants and officials lord it over the people beneath them. But among you, it should be quite different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even I, the Son of Man, came here not to be served, but to serve others, and to give my life as a ransom for many." When you accept Christ into your life, you are called to be a servant. Now, I don't think for most of you that should be a shock or a surprise. I think you know that. I think you mentally believe that. But when it comes to putting it all into practice, it's a real difficult thing, isn't it? And so what we're going to look at in the weeks ahead is this idea of what it means to be a servant. Now, to begin with, I want to just give you a picture this morning of what this is all about. Now, you have noticed that there are some people around that are wearing these aprons, wondering, what in the world's that about? It's amazing when you wear something like this, the comments you get. I really don't like the one of stripes make you look slimming. That's not what I was looking for. But the idea is this. Someone with an apron is ready to serve. So you and I should be servants. Now in life, not just in Christianity, but in life, there are basically two types of people. There are people who are servants, who are willing to consider the needs of others before themselves. When a baby comes into a home, you become a servant to that child. And see, the child is a thing, because if you don't have on an apron, your other option is you get to wear a bib. Okay? Aww. Now, when you have on a bib, that just says, feed me. Right? A bib says, it's about me. You take care of me. You serve what I want. So in other words, what happens is that you and I are wearing one of two elements here this morning. We're either wearing an apron or a bib. See, a bib says, well, I don't like that. A bib says, I want it this way. A bib makes it all about me and who I am, and life is about what I want and how I think. Well, they shouldn't do that. Isn't that disgusting? Isn't that horrible? Well, I don't think this is the way. That's a bib mentality, isn't it? You know, and there are a lot of people in life where life is all about them. It's all about their taste. It's all about what they want. It's all about what they think should happen, how they think things should be, and they live their life trying to get what they want in life. And Jesus says to his disciples, look, in the kings and the tyrants and the leaders of the world, they're all striving for the top. It's all about themselves. It's all about what they want and what they can get and what they attain. But when you come to Christ, now it should be very different. Now it's not about attaining and becoming and getting what your way and getting what you want. Now you become the servant. And then Jesus does something profound, as he often does. He gives us this formula that doesn't make sense in a worldly way. He says, in fact, here's the way it works. If you want to be the greatest, you serve. If you really want to lead in the kingdom, you serve. You get rid of the bib. You get rid of the thinking that I get what I want and you take care of me and feed me. You see, there's a lot of people in church, it's all about, I'm not getting fed. Well, you know, there comes a time as a child grows up, the bib comes off and you pick up a fork and spoon and you feed yourself. Okay? They're still a child, aren't they? They're a bib mentality. See, in life, you're either a giver or a taker. You're either a blessing or a burden. You either have a give mentality or a get mentality. And I don't think I have to go too far here, and I'm not going to belabor the point. But I have to understand that as a Christian, I am called to be a servant. I am called to get rid of the bib and put on the apron. Now, when I serve, I grow. I'm going to tell you something you might not be aware of, but there's a principle in spiritual growth that works like this. When you serve, you grow spiritually. The people with the bibs are the people who are doing nothing. You will not grow as a Christian if you're not serving somewhere in the body of Christ. Do you hear me? You can do all the studies you want. You can do everything else you want. But if you're going to grow as a Christian, you have to serve. Service creates growth. You see, if you got on the bib, all that does is make you fat and sassy. It's not a pretty picture, is it? So you and I are called to serve. That's the principle that we have to understand. That's why the aprons. That's what we're about. Every one of us, every day, all day, you should have the picture that you have an apron on ready to serve people. You don't have on a bib going through your day thinking about what you can get. Now, one of the things that becomes very critical is our attitudes. Because you can come away from here this morning thinking, well, okay, I'll serve, but I'll serve with an attitude. Now, there's nothing worse than people who serve with an attitude, who pretend to be servants, but in reality have on a bib. And so we're going to look at the attitude of a servant this morning and what that attitude means and what it represents. The first thing about this is that we are willing to live without a position. We are willing to live without a position. In other words, I don't have to have a title to serve. Well, I'm willing to do this, but I don't want to do this. See, as a servant, there's nothing beneath your dignity. The greatest illustration of that is found in Philippians chapter 2. Paul writes and says this, "Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Is there any comfort from his love? Is there any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic?" Now the answer to all of them should be yes, right? "Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose." How many of you understand that if you're going to work with other people, you better have on an apron and not a bib? Okay. Verse 3, "Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself." In other words, don't strive for the top. You're willing to serve. "Don't think only about your own affairs. Be interested in others too and what they're doing." Verse 5, don't miss it. Your what? Attitude should be the same that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a slave and appeared in human form. And in human form, he obediently humbled himself even farther by dying a criminal's death on a cross. So here we have God being willing to become a man. Now, no matter how you slice it, that is not a great career move. And that is not a step up. It is a big step down, isn't it? And so he was willing, what's it say, to give up his rights. Now, you and I live in a society that values rights. We all have our rights. Well, they can't treat me like that. I deserve better. Good. Wipe your mouth off with your bib. Well, I shouldn't have to put up with that. After all, don't they know that I have rights? Look at your bib. As a Christian who is willing to serve, my attitude is, I don't have rights. I am willing to humble myself and to do whatever I am called to do, no matter what that is. It says to Jesus, not only to become a man, he is willing to die. I will give up my rights so that I can serve somebody else. I don't need any recognition. I don't need a reward. I don't need a title. I don't need a position. I am called to serve, and it doesn't matter what anybody else does. It doesn't matter how anybody else treats me. A servant doesn't have rights. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know you're really a servant? How do you know you got that attitude? Well, it's very simple. You don't take offense when someone treats you like a servant. I'm always amazed. People call themselves servants, and then somebody starts treating them like one, and then they get upset. Now, if you're truly a servant, it's okay if others boss you around. It's okay that you don't get it your way. It's okay that things don't happen like you think they should. Do you know we are a people who the slightest little thing that goes wrong, we go, well, you know what? They didn't treat me right. Or here's what, they disrespected me. I'm never going back to that store again. Come on. Well, I don't like this. I'm never going back to that church again. We got on the bib, don't we? You see, you and I have this constant battle between I want what I want when I want it and how I want it, and this willingness that as a Christian, I am willing to do whatever I need to do to serve other people. Now that's difficult, isn't it? I am willing to live without a position, without recognition, without title, without rights. I am willing to lay them all aside and to humble myself and to serve. Well, Pastor, if you do that, won't people take advantage of you? Of course. You're a slave, so what? We talk a good servant game, but it's hard to play it, isn't it? We say we're a servant, but then when we get treated like one, the bib comes out. And so I have to come to that place in my life, in my service to Christ, where I am willing to serve him and have the attitude of, I don't need a position or a title. I don't need the recognition. It does not matter. I am here to serve. Jesus Christ was willing to humble himself, to become man, to die on a cross. And that was the attitude that he had, and you never once in the Bible find him complaining about it. He was a willing servant, wasn't he? So you and I come to that place where we're willing to live and have this attitude of, I don't need a position. I don't need a title. I don't need the recognition. I am just willing to serve. Now, I'd like to tell you it gets better, but it doesn't. Because then I got to be willing to live with pain. You see, if I am going to truly serve, I will suffer for it. If I am going to truly serve, I will be taken advantage of. If I am going to truly serve, then there will be people who will use me. Jesus Christ served and people used him, didn't they? People killed him. So you and I have to understand, well, you know, I've got this great picture. I'm now a Christian. I'm going to serve God. And as I serve God, everybody will treat me really nice. You know, we understand this. Because when you cook, you don't always get the... That's why you have aprons you can buy now that say, kiss the cook. Okay? Otherwise, the cook doesn't get any recognition. Other than, good food, glad you did it. Go back in the kitchen where you belong. In 1 Peter, Peter starts writing to the church there and talking to them about the difficulties that they're going through because of their commitment to Christ. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, he says, remember, it is better to suffer for doing good, if that's what God wants, than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ also suffered when he died for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners that he might bring us safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit. So in other words, here's the thing. If I'm going to suffer, I want it to suffer for me doing good, not for me doing wrong. See, if you're suffering because you've done something wrong, you deserve the suffering, don't you? If you're suffering because you got a lousy attitude and people don't like being around you and so you don't have any friends, that's your fault. But if you suffer because you're doing what's right and serving Christ and people don't like that, that's something you can say, you know what, God, I'm serving you and doing what's best, and I know there's people that don't understand, but I am going to make a commitment to do what's right for you. I'm not going to be obnoxious. I'm not going to chase them away. I'm not going to pretend like I don't care. It hurts. There's pain in this. I wish they understood. I wish they knew, but I am going to keep serving. Now, the problem is this. We all get to a place where we say, I've had it up to here. And then what happens? Bring out the bib. Put it back on. I deserve this. I deserve better. I shouldn't have to go through that. They shouldn't treat me like that. Well, I tried serving once, and do you know how they treated me? Let's see. Like a servant? Yeah, they didn't listen to me. They weren't considerate of me. They weren't nice to me. It's better to suffer for doing good than for doing wrong. Peter continues that thought on into chapter 4. And he says this, so then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude that he had and be ready to suffer too. Now, I'd like to hear, if you serve, everybody will love you, everybody will like you, it'll be the greatest experience you've ever had. You know, you just do what's right, and the people around you will take notice and treat you like a king. But what the Bible tells me is that when you serve, get ready for some pain. For if you're willing to suffer for Christ, you've decided to stop sinning. And you won't spend the rest of your life chasing after evil desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. Life is not about avoiding pain and suffering. In life, if you serve God, you will experience pain. I am not one of those guys that's going to tell you, serve God and you'll have no more problems. I don't believe that. I don't believe Christianity is an escape from pain. Well, then what's the benefit? Serve God, and God will help you get through your problems, and then God will take those problems and help you grow as a person and as a Christian, and he will work good out of it. So it's not about avoiding pain and suffering. In fact, Christianity is more about learning how to go through pain and suffering for the right reasons. You see, we think, well, if I do what's right, I'll be treated right. Christ did what was right. How was he treated? Wrong. So I have to understand, I have to have an attitude that says, you know what? I am going to choose to put myself in a position where I am willing to serve, and I don't need recognition or a title, but I am willing to do whatever God wants me to do, whatever place He has chosen, however it is. I will do the best of my ability to do that with the right attitude, and I will know that as I go into this, I know that I will experience difficulty and go through some pain and some suffering because of the choice that I have made to serve. Thus, you see why a lot of people don't serve, don't you? Because the moment things start getting a little hot, and there's a little heat applied, and things start going every way you like for them to go, and everything, you're not being treated the way you think you'd be treated. Well, I am volunteering my time, and here I am doing this, and no one appreciates me. Well, are you doing it for the recognition? If you are, why? Well, I just thought they would be better for me to... Well, you thought wrong. Well, I tried to serve but was rejected. Well, with that attitude, no wonder. When you're a servant, you're not easily offended. When you're a servant, it doesn't matter what goes on. You see, if you got on a bib and somebody puts the wrong food in your mouth, what are you going to do? You're going to spit it out saying, I don't like that. Give me something else. Pya, pya, pya. You ever tried to feed a little kid who didn't like what you're putting in their mouth? Man, that's tough, isn't it? And so as a parent, what do you eventually do? Let's try something else. Why? Because it's all about the person with the bib, isn't it? So you and I have to understand that the attitude of a servant begins with this willingness to humble ourselves to a place where we are willing to do whatever needs to be done for the benefit of others, and we don't need a position for that to happen. And we understand that as we do that, we will have to go through some difficulties because, after all, we're dealing with people. You see, if you got on an apron, you've got to deal with the people who've got on bibs. And isn't it amazing how they always find you? I'm willing to live with that. I'm willing to understand that Jesus Christ did what was right and yet He still suffered for it. I'm willing to understand that I'm going to suffer for doing what's right rather than suffer for doing what's wrong. I'm going to suffer because of my attitude of being willing to serve and being willing to do whatever needs to be done so that I can put myself in a place where I can recognize this is the way Christ lived, this is the way He wants me to live, and He tells me that if I do that, then I will be pleasing Him and being acting like Him. And so I'm willing to live with this pain. There's a third thing to this attitude, and that means I'm willing to live in peace. Now, this is where it really gets tough. In other words, I'll do it, I don't need recognition, and I'll even suffer for it. Now, most of us are good with that, but now it's a step farther, and now we got to say this. Not only will I do that, but I will get along with everybody around me. Yeah, right. You know, I'm here, I'm serving, this is what God's called me to do, this is what's pleasing to Him, and I will work at having peace with people. I won't make snide comments, I won't demand my way, I won't look at them and think, well, hold it, don't you understand, I've got feelings too. Don't you know this is the way it should be done? Romans 14:12. Each of us will have to give an personal account to God. So don't condemn each other anymore. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not put an obstacle in another Christian's path. I know and am perfectly sure on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat, but if someone believes it's wrong, then for that person it's wrong. Now let me stop for a moment so you don't get hung up on this food issue. What was going on in the early church is this. People were getting saved. When they got saved, now it becomes an issue of what do they eat because they wanted to serve God. Well, much of the food in those days and times were offered to the Roman gods as sacrifices. And so the controversy was, can I eat some of this food that's been offered to a god and sacrificed and then sold at the market at a discounted price? It's cheaper, it's a better cut, and can I eat it? And there were a group of Christians that said, no, once you become a Christian, you can't even touch that stuff anymore. And there was another group that said, well, I don't see the big deal in it, it's just food. How petty, huh? We won't get into all the things today that we make similar, will we? Someone believes it's wrong. For that person, it's wrong. If another Christian's distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Now, what did Paul already said? He said, I don't see a problem with this. He said, and that's not my opinion. Notice, verse 14, I know, perfectly sure, on the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. He already knows that, doesn't he? But now he says, but if someone else thinks it's wrong, don't eat it. Then you'll not be condemned for doing something you know is all right. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and other people will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat or what your preferences are. Remember, there's nothing wrong with these things in themselves, but it is wrong to eat anything if it makes another person stumble. Well, I don't see anything wrong with my attitude. Well, your attitude's wrong if it's hurting another person. There's something wrong with it, isn't there? Don't eat meat, drink wine, anything else if it might cause another Christian to stumble. He goes on into the next chapter, still dealing with the same principle, the same understanding. Romans 15, verse 4, such things were written in scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. May God, who gives this patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, each with the attitude of Christ Jesus towards the other. Then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just say something to you this morning. If you have a hard time getting along with people, you're probably not a servant. You probably got on a bib. If you always find yourself in conflict with people, you need to look in the mirror and see how big your bib is. Because you see, a servant says, look, as far as it's with me, we're going to get along. I'm here to serve you. I'm here to do what I can for you. It's more important for me to serve you than it is for me to have my way. Now let me just throw this in, because it's just an aside. I'm not going to deal with it a lot, but since today is Valentine's Day, folks, this is the heart of what love is all about. You and your relationship with another person, do you have on an apron or a bib? I'll move on. So you and I come to that place in our lives where we recognize, you know what, whether I'm appreciated or not, whether people recognize me or not, whether people treat me fairly or not, I will do what I need to do so that I can keep peace and live in harmony with people because I want to serve them. I don't need to have my way. Well, if I serve them, they should treat me nice. Well, they should, but they probably won't. Check your attitude. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. You have been called to live in freedom, not the freedom to satisfy your sinful nature, but the freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. So the question this morning is a simple one. It's one we'll be asking throughout this time. Are you wearing an apron? Or are you wearing a bib? It makes all the difference in the world. And if you've chosen to be a servant, your attitude becomes critical. Are you willing to serve no matter what title, position you have? Are you willing to serve no matter how you're treated or what happens? And are you willing to serve in a way that you live at peace with other people? You see, well, I'm serving, but this is my area and my territory and my turf, and nobody better touch it. And since I'm the one, it's my turf, you do what I want you to do. That's a bib. So you and I are called to serve, aren't we? The question is simple. Do you have on an apron or a bib? Now let me just tell you something very honestly. The most difficult place in the world to be is when you try and wear both. You can't have it both ways. If you try and wear both, understand something. The bib always overrides the apron. It's either or. God has called us to serve.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.